Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
How can it possibly be that time of year again? Back to school? I mean, have you seen all the pictures all over Facebook? First day of school. How did that happen? Like, I think yesterday it was Easter, right? Weren't we talking about Easter and weren't we talking about our New Year resolutions like yesterday? And today, all over Facebook, is the first day of school. So it's thankfully not the first day of school here in Florida. But if it is the first day of school and you're back in the swing wherever you are, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you have to make lunches, and I'm sorry you have to fight with kids to do their homework. And I will just bask in the feeling of the fact that I'm not there yet, but I soon will be. So we will relish in the sales. We will pick up our 2-for-1 pencils and paper. And oh, the best deal, though, that I have seen for back to school, speaking of back to school supplies, is HP has instant ink. Okay, and if you don't know what instant ink is, it is the thing that is going to save you October 30th when you have a child running into you at 10 o'clock at night saying, "Mom, we're out of ink and I have a book report due tomorrow." Instant ink, actually, it's a wireless app that sends a message from your printer to HP, and it's like ink subscription, and it starts as low as $4 a month. When you're out of ink, the ink automatically appears at your door. And I got to tell you, I've been using it for about 3 months. I put my kids on instant ink, and the ones that are in college, it appears on at their dorm. I don't have to worry about sending them money for ink. It's the best thing ever. And I think right now they're running a special on it. I know they're running a buy one, get one half off on regular ink. So this is the time to stock up on everything, because you know, come November and December, you're going to wish you had those 2-for-1 crayons and all those markers that have dried out by then. Anyways, we have a great show lined up for you today on Mom Talk Radio in our 20th year. Can you believe it? 20 years I have been talking to you about raising children and feeling good about ourselves. And for the last couple of years, Pre-Mama has been our sponsor and has brought you Mom Talk Radio. Now at CVS Pharmacies, however, Pre-Mama, the drinkable prenatal vitamin, also has expanded their line into fertility and lactation formulas. So you can find it at CVS, or you can go online to Drink Pre-Mama, and there you will find it. It's awesome. You don't have to swallow a big old horse pill anymore. We have a great show that is going to entertain and inform you. And when we return, we've got Dr. Shoshana Bennett with us. She's going to be talking about all things anxiety, particularly as we go back to school.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
You know, often having a baby is the happiest day in our lives. But for some moms, it comes with anxiety. And we often know that as postpartum depression. We're delighted to have with us today Dr. Shoshana Bennett. She is a clinical psychologist and one of the nation's foremost experts on postpartum depression. She has written several books. She's a lecturer and a keynote speaker. And we are delighted to have her with us today on Mom Talk Radio. She goes by Dr. Shosh, and we're really excited to have her here to kind of debunk all the myths that we hear about postpartum depression. So welcome, Doctor, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
So let's talk about giving birth. It's a joyous occasion. Moms are happy. We leave the hospital. But then sometimes we hear of moms who maybe start feeling a little blue, and we hear we may ourselves feel some anxiety. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, and it's important to know what's normal and what isn't. Baby blues is very normal. Baby blues happens to most new moms. It's mild ups and downs. Doesn't feel good, but it's mild. And it should be gone by about 2 weeks, or at the outset, 3 weeks following delivery. If it keeps going longer, we now call it postpartum depression, even if it's mild. The severity of the symptoms can be much harder than that, much harsher and tougher, even immediately following delivery. So whenever the severity of the symptoms get in the way of the mom's daily functioning or her nighttime sleeping when the baby's sleeping, now if she has any insomnia, for instance, she needs to get help right away. So, for instance, in my case, once that placenta was delivered, I plummeted. It was not the happiest time in my life by any means. And this is the most common complication of childbearing, is postpartum depression. One in seven of us are hit with something more severe than the very normal baby blues.
So how do you know, though? I mean, I had three babies in less than 20 months. And you're not sleeping. There's things pulling you in a lot of directions. Mm-hmm. You start judging yourself and feeling guilty. How do you know it's not all of those, quote, normal feelings and emotions, and that it might be something greater besides just that it goes beyond 2 weeks?
Well, again, it's with the severity of the symptoms. If you lose your perspective, right, you know, women with postpartum depression will be thinking, I don't know who this is, but I've lost myself. And there's nothing but doom and gloom, thinking not only did they make a horrible mistake, but they're a terrible mom. There's something inadequate about them. They're feeling very deficient. Sometimes they're even hopeless. I mean, in my case, I was suicidal after the births of both of my children, and that was nowhere near what I'd ever experienced in my life. I mean, I've always been a really happy person. So if you have that perspective of, okay, I'm going through a really stressful time, this is tough, having, especially in your case, my goodness, you know, there are a lot of little people there needing care. But you still hold on to the, I know I'll get myself back. This is just a rough time now, and I'll get the support I need, and you're talking with other moms, and you know that some of the feelings are just very, very normal, then you know, you can pretty well bet that what you're experiencing is within the normal range.
How do you get help?
It's important and certainly ideal to contact a psychotherapist, a psychologist at MFT, who really specializes in maternal mental health. It's really not good enough to just go with a good therapist under your insurance, unless they've had great clinical expertise, unless they belong to organizations that specifically focus on this area, can rattle off a couple of books, whether they're mine or somebody else's, you know, who have focused right on this area. So you deserve, you know, like with any other disorder, you deserve to be talking with a specialist. You can certainly approach a practitioner you trust, a healthcare practitioner. Hopefully they have a resource for you, someone who specializes. Your listeners can certainly contact me. I have, worldwide, I have resources everywhere I can guide them towards if they don't wish to work with me for whatever reason. But again, that's what's deserved. You know, if a child has an illness, that takes a specialist, we don't think twice about finding them the specialist. But sometimes with our own mental health, we think, oh, I can put myself, I'll settle. Don't settle. I mean, your family is rotating around you. If mommy's not okay, nobody's okay, right?
So when it comes to therapy, in one of your books, Postpartum Depression for Dummies and Beyond the Blues, you talk about some alternative therapies. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And again, if a mom needs, after a complete assessment, if it determined that she could really utilize a medication, then she should absolutely do it. She needs to do whatever she needs to do to get herself 100% back. But often the alternative treatments, or complementary treatments at least, such as omega-3 fish oil, it's huge. I mean, pregnant moms and lactating moms are often afraid of eating fish, or taking a supplement. They're afraid of contaminants. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of mercury. Very important to take something contaminant-free. I happen to love Nordic Naturals, but, you've got to really trust what you're taking. But it's so important, not only for prevention, but also for treatment. There are a couple of types of light therapy, phototherapy. There's brain stimulation of various types. There's massage. There's acupuncture. We have research in many of these different areas. Certainly, she needs emotional support. Physical support, that's part of the wellness strategy.
And I know one support that she can get is from information on your website. I want to make sure we get that in before we have to close. And that is drshosh.com.
Drshosh.com, right. Uh-huh. It's hard.
It's drshosh.com. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. It's a really important topic, an important subject. And if you know someone that's going through it, send them over there as well to the website, because there is a lot of wealth of information. Thank you so much, Doctor, for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. We appreciate you spending some of your day with us. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to one mom who's doing pretty remarkable things with her four children. In fact, so remarkable that she started a 501c3 nonprofit that we're going to tell you about. It helps abused children in her community. Love when moms do great things to help other moms and children and families. And our next guest is one of those moms. I know her from the world of social media. She's quite active, even with four children. Her name is Pebble Thompson. And she started 7 years ago a nonprofit to help abused children in her community. It's called ignitelight.org. And she's here to talk a little bit about it. So welcome, Pebbles, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're everywhere online, and one of the important things you do is your nonprofit. Can you tell us a little bit about what you try to achieve?
Yes, we put together backpacks for children when they're removed from their home to determine the extent of abuse that they've suffered and are put into foster care. We provide them with everything they need to get started. So basically anything you would pack for yourself to spend the night away from home, we make sure these children have those items.
I think it may be important to explain why that is so essential to a child, because it used to be that children, I know my mother was a foster parent, and it used to be that kids would just show up with a paper bag and sometimes not even with a toothbrush.
It's so true. The toothbrush is actually one of the favorite items placed into our bag, because so many children are just getting their very first one. But often when they're removed from their homes, they're removed quickly. So the first bag they grab is usually a trash bag because it's handy. And they throw everything that these kids hold and love into that bag, and it's very few items. So they've already been told that they've done nothing wrong, yet they're the ones who are being removed from their home. And even though their home may not be safe, it's familiar and comfortable. And now they're being placed into another home with people they don't know and don't trust. So it's a very traumatic time, and we're just trying to ease and smooth that transition to give them a sense of dignity and belonging.
How can our listeners help you? Because now you're working with children in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota.
Correct. And we're developing a training program now so that people can begin to learn how to do what we're doing and put that into action to reach children in their own communities. So for all that information, they can go onto our website. And if they're interested, they can fill out the information and we'll get in touch with them.
you said toothbrushes is something that you look for. Are there other things that are important?
Our bag is a complete set. So we mm-hmm. do pajama parties where people can get together and do a pajama drive and donate those to us. The fleece tie blankets that so many people love to make because you don't have to know how to sew and yet you get a great product out of it. Those can be sent to us and we'll make sure that those get shipped out. And really, we just want people to understand that whatever their gift or talent is, they can use it to better their community.
This is a really good thing for particularly high school kids that have to have community service, right? They can hold one of those pajama parties. And as the school year starts and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get, 20 hours for my kids? This is a really good way and it powers them to do it themselves.
It really does. And who doesn't love a pair of comfy PJs? So we have kids and adults all over the country who partner with us from November to the new year, where we ask them to do a pajama party or PJs with a purpose and take a photo and share it on social media to raise awareness for Project Ignite Light. And so they can take a picture and send it and just hashtag it PJs with a purpose to help us spread the word of what we're doing.
You have a website, right?
Yes, it's ignitelight.org.
I just want to congratulate you for everything you're doing. How involved do you get your kids in this? Are they involved as well?
We've been doing this 7 years. So I have a 15, a 9, an 8, and a 5-year-old. And so the little 3 don't know anything else. And our 15-year-old has constantly said, Mom, I want to take this over from you one day. And I just keep trying to get her through junior high and now hopefully high school first. But we're really looking for ways to tell our kids that we each have unique gifts and talents. And so there's lots of different levels that they can be involved in what we do. So yeah, it's definitely a family affair. We travel together and we do it together and we love it.
And it's such a good example that you're setting for your kids because they see you give back. And, we tell our kids, oh, you should volunteer, you should give back. And then we, they don't see us do it. And that's not a very good thing. So, so moms, check it out. Go to the website, ignitelight.org. You can follow Pebbles on Twitter as well at ignitelight.org and help her out. And this is a mom trying to do a wonderful thing. And I'm already racking my brains to think about, okay, how can I do something? Because I like to practice what I preach. So thank you so much for joining us today. And good luck with back to school. I know getting four kids back into the groove is not an easy task.
So true.
So thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we have a link to ignitelight.org on Mom Talk. So if you're driving and you can't write it down, then go to our website, Mom Talk Radio, and you'll find it there.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
Online safety is something that we probably don't talk about enough. We all know that we should protect our children and our teens and our preteens, but then how do we really do it? I know when the internet originally launched, it was all about, putting security and visiting the histories on our laptops and not letting our children have computers in their room, but there's probably a lot more that we could be doing. And that's why we've invited today Stacy Connor. She is an online safety expert at Intel Security. She is focused on driving initiatives through education and business channels that focus on consumer online safety. And she's very, very experienced in this area, and we're delighted to have her today. So welcome, Stacy, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much, Maria. Let me say, this topic is particularly interesting, and it's a passion of mine. I have 2 children of my own that fall in the teen and tween age category, and with many devices that they use every day. And so, like you said, protecting them and protecting their privacy and their identity while they engage with the technology and engage with their devices is something very important to me.
Yeah, and I know that we're going to talk a little bit about traveling and keeping our kids connected and safe as they're traveling, because it seems that particularly in the summer months, or whether they're traveling for a sport or with a church group, it's a little bit harder then. So
yeah,
let's talk a little bit about like keeping them safe as they're traveling with sometimes three or four devices.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Boy, our teens and tweens are already expert multitaskers when it comes to, you know, operating laptops and tablets and smartphones kind of all at the same time. And you're absolutely right. They face some unique challenges. And I think one of the first things is, you know, our teens and tweens are not used to backing up data. So what we recommend to parents is anything that might be on those devices that they like to use when they are traveling, the first thing that we always recommend is, hey, back up that device. That way, if the device is lost or stolen, you still got access to all of the information. The second thing is, you know, our tweens and teens are on social media now more than ever. One of the things that we know based on a study we recently conducted is our teens and tweens love building that camaraderie. They love using their social networking as a means to build up their community. One of the ways that they do that is they turn on their location services.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can let their friends and family know where they're at all times.
Right.
But, you know, when they're away from us, their parents, you know, we don't necessarily want everybody to know where they are. And so talking to teens about some of the risks that location services and turning those on can pose is also really important. And then finally, just generally posting updates in general to social media accounts. You know, even in the an example of a family vacation, if somebody, you know, mentions, hey, we're out of town, we're having a great time in this fabulous destination, what they're also really doing is kind of letting people know, hey, we're not at home. You know, our home and our pets and, you know, anything else in the house is potentially vulnerable. And so we like to make sure that our parents are helping our teens and tweens kind of understand safe ways to engage with social media. But, hey, there's no harm in waiting till the week after you're back from vacation to post all of those photos and how much fun you had.
But how do you – okay – I understand what you're saying, but I can't even imagine. I mean, I can't even imagine me waiting a week to post pictures. And I think about that often because I'm such a public person. And
yeah.
And I think to myself, okay, well, if I let people know that I'm out of my house, even though my family is still there,
yeah,
you know, now I put them at risk of maybe attracting people to my house, you know?
That's exactly that's a trade-off that, you know, I think each of us as parents kind of have to think about and make decisions for ourselves. But yeah, there's a trade-off of that real-time updating for your friends and family and kind of having a knowledge base about, you know, who else might be able to glean information that we might not want them to have. There's, of course, privacy settings and things like that on all of our social media accounts. And so getting educated on what those are and how to turn those on and off is also definitely something that we recommend.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about, let's just talk about the everyday keeping our children safe online, because it seemed like there got to be a point where, okay, we went through this phase in parenting where we watched their MySpace page or their Facebook page, and then it was, okay, I got to monitor their Instagram account. But now, oh my gosh, between Jib Jab and Flickr and all these Snapchats, how do you monitor those things?
Well, I think there's a couple things, and the first thing we like to say is have these conversations with your kids. I can't tell you, that sounds so flippant and easy to do, but it's stunning how many parents that we talk to here that aren't having those regular conversations, and helping kids understand, hey, here's all the great things that technology is bringing into your life, but understand, the internet is a place that nothing ever is gone completely. And so helping them understand, hey, when you download these apps, when you engage with technology and the internet in these certain ways, it's out there forever. So let's set some ground rules in the home about what you send. I know parents or some of my personal friends that say, you can't send pictures of yourself. You just can't. Or you can't ever turn on your location services, or you can't send, you know, pictures of our home because, you know, people could glean what's inside our home from the background, right? So having those conversations and setting some clear guidelines and rules is definitely the first step. I think the second thing is helping kids understand, you know, our teens and tweens, bless them. They like to think that everything they read and see on the internet is true, and that people are generally honest and right, representing themselves with true intentions. And we need to help them understand that that's not always the case. During a recent survey that we did back in May, we found, Maria, that 1 in 4, 27% to be exact, of our teens and tweens that we surveyed said, hey, I would, or I have already made plans to visit a stranger that I first met online. And of course, as parents, you know, our heart just drops when we hear something like that. And but I think it goes, it's a good education point because it goes to show our parents, hey, we have to educate our teens and tweens on the risks.
Right. Well, let me, we're going to have to close. So I want to make sure that everyone knows IntelSecurity.com has lots of information there. Go and just refresh yourself. And now's a good time as you go back into school to think about online security, because if nothing else, your children at least know that you're in tune to it. Stacy, thank you so much. We have a link to IntelSecurity.com on Mom Talk Radio. Next up, we're going to talk to one father who actually used Minecraft to benefit some of his children. And we're going to let him tell you the story, but Minecraft to help with bullying.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
Okay, you guys, Minecraft. Now, you probably either dread it, hate it, or have cursed it at least once. But one dad has done some pretty amazing things with it. He is Mark Sheverton, and he majored in physics and math. Okay, so we already dislike him, right? But I'm going to turn it around, and we're going to like him by the end here. And he actually taught the subjects for 15 years. And while teaching, he earned a master's degree in physics. He later worked for GE's Global Research Center, where he researched laser welding and 3D printing. That's cool, huh? But then those lessons included taking risks and a willingness to try some difficult stuff, as if math and physics isn't difficult enough. But his first book, Invasion of the Overworld, actually addresses the sensitive topic of bullying. And so he actually used Minecraft to benefit his son. Really smart guy, Mark. And you're really smart for accepting our interview. No, I'm just joking. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, because this is really interesting. How did you do that? Like, what benefit did you find for your son in his bullying experiences, and how did you link it back to Minecraft?
So the bullying actually happened in Minecraft.
Oh, okay.
He became obsessed with it. And I'm kind of a geeky engineer, so I liked building stuff with him, so we would play together. And he liked it a lot. We got him a server, and he started playing with other kids at school on his server, and other kids off the internet came on and played with him, and they built lots of fantastic things. And then somebody came along one day and flattened everything to the ground and destroyed it. And to make it worse, they made a video of it and put it on YouTube.
Oh, my gosh.
And in the And in the video, they made fun of him, called him terrible names, mocked him, and destroyed everything, and it was awful.
And so how did you turn that experience around for your son?
Well, the thing that I've learned about bullying, unfortunately, so he came out in tears, and he said, what did I do to deserve this? I was nice to these boys. I let them play on my server. What did I do to deserve this? And it turns out frequently that victims of bullying think they did something to deserve this treatment. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get him to understand it wasn't his fault. So I wrote this book using the thing he's obsessed with, Minecraft, to teach him about bullying, to teach him why this was not his fault.
Right, right.
So I wrote the book, and we read it at bedtime, and he got it. And he said, okay, I understand. It's not my fault. The bullies, it's about the bullies and how they feel about themselves. It's not about me. And I thought, yay, victory.
And so how did, the book that you wrote, tell me a little bit about it. Is it illustrated? Is it words? Is it a story of someone else being bullied?
It's about a character who gets magically transported into Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And that character is my son. His Minecraft name is Game Night 999. So I made him the main character because I could.
That's cool.
And he starts out as a bully. And he finds that within the game, nobody will help him because he has hurt everybody he knows. And so now he learns the cost of his bullying. And through the course of the story, you learn that he's a bully because he's bullied by other kids. It's very common that bullies are picked on by bigger kids.
Right,
and so they
right.
picked on smaller kids to feel better about themselves.
So where can we find this book? Because it sounds very, very ingenious and a good lesson, even if you don't play Minecraft. So where do we find it?
So it's available anywhere books are sold. Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, Kmart, Costco, BJ's. It's online. It's published in 16 countries, and now it's in 8 different languages as well.
Well, I love the fact that you took a negative experience, which again is another good lesson for your son, and turned it into something really great. The book, again, is called Invasion of the Overworld, Book 1 in the Game Night 999 series, an unofficial Minecrafter's adventure. And it addresses that sensitive topic of bullying. We have a link to Mark Cheverton.com. That's Mark with a K, CHEVERTON.com. And we have it on Mom Talk Radio. So, Mark, congratulations on being a dad that has taken his talents and turned it into a really great thing for your children. And
thank you. And
thanks for the benefit that you're, or the gift that you're giving other children as well. So thank you very much. A lot more Mom Talk coming your way. You're not going to want to miss it. To turn our attention to our children's teeth, when we are joined by Carol John. She is a dental hygienist. She has been since 1982. She has many years in the clinic, and we're going to talk about the importance of flossing, which we hear a lot about. Carol, welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Yeah. Thanks.
So I think, about the time I was 15, I got tired of hearing women like you tell me, you're not flossing enough, you're not flossing enough. And I decided that I was never going to go back to the dentist again and hear that. And I'm kind of addicted to flossing now. But why overall is flossing important?
Well, flossing is important because everyone needs to clean between their teeth. Your toothbrush, the brushing alone just isn't enough. And between the teeth, that's the place that most dental problems start, especially gum disease. The toothbrush just can't get the plaque from that area. And more than 50% adults over the age of 30 actually have gum disease, and that is the root cause of both tooth loss and bad breath. But I'd like to say that the only way to clean between your teeth isn't just with string floss. There are many other alternatives today so that you don't have to avoid your dentist or dental hygienist, and many ways, including the Waterpik water flosser, which has been compared to string floss on numerous occasions in scientific studies, 50% more effective in improving gum health. It gets deep between the teeth. It gets below the gum line where brushing and flossing really can't reach. So that's really great news for people that struggle with the use of traditional string floss.
Mm-hmm. And what about, though, like, I know that my mom always said, you know, that the kids weren't allowed to use the water pick because I think because she was just afraid of a mess with, you know, eight kids using it. Is it really something we can use for our kids? I've never thought about using it for my children.
It's a great question, and I certainly understand your mom's perspective, because, boy, if there isn't something as tempting and fun as water for kids, what is there? But several years ago, we developed a kids' water flosser. It's fun color. It's green. It has decals. It has a little bit of a smaller handle, so mm-hmm. it is adapted for that, you know, kids that are from about ages 6 to 12. I think that there always should be a little bit of supervision, particularly with the six-year-old, and helping them to use it. But they can use it on a, you know, moderate setting. It's easy. And as far as after they're 12 or 13 and they're going into orthodontic appliances, it's really, really necessary. And they can use an adult version. We have a cordless version. So if mom is concerned about that, a lot of people like to take it into the shower. And it really cleans the braces, it cleans the mouth. And to me, you start kids out on a habit that's easy, it's effective, and that they can do for the rest of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about for our kids with braces? Can kids with braces, we only have 2 minutes, can they use them?
Absolutely, they can use them. We have a really great tip. It's called the orthodontic tip. It's a small little brush. It'll help clean around those brackets. And it has been shown to remove 3 times as much plaque as just string floss, 5 times more than brushing only, and reducing the bleeding. And, you know, when kids have braces, they have a tendency to get those white spots because they don't get the plaque off. So you really want a tool that's going to help them keep the braces plaque-free.
Well, and where do we go for more information?
You can go to the Waterpik website, www.waterpik.com. We are also on Facebook, so you can find us there under Waterpik Oral Health, either of those places. You can get a lot of information about our products and about the clinical benefits we've seen in our studies.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. We'll have a link to it on our website. Thank you, Carol, so much. So folks, remember, your kids not only need to eat healthy, although those couple of s'mores that you are going to have over the weekend is, I'm not going to fight anyone about giving their kids s'mores because I love s'mores, but when you're done, don't forget their teeth is important, and whether it's brushing and flossing or flossing and brushing, it's important for them to do. Thank you so much for joining spending some of your time with us this weekend, and we will be back here next week, this time right here on Mom Talk Radio. So everybody have a great week.